Good morning, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life and this is your first time, we are glad you found your way to this worshiping community. And be safe out there. It's a little dicey. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar of a list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who you will be standing at, or the elder who will be standing at the communion table following worship today. During offering, if everyone would please sign the hospitality register and pass it down so we were able to greet those around us by name. A few announcements this morning. I'll start. Again, I'm Barb Snaith, and I wanted to mention to the women in the church that we're going to be having the women's brunch again this year on Saturday, January 4th at the Sweetbriar Lodge, which used to be Lodge on the Green. It's going to be $22 a person, and it'll be a wonderful hot brunch, hot meal. Not only do you get breakfast, you also get, I think, chicken French is on there. And we'll be collecting again for Willow. In addition to personal items that people bring to donate, we're looking for buckets with cleaning products because women leave Willow and go out on their own, so that we thought that would be a nice gesture on our part. Kathy Koontz?
Good morning. I'm Kathy Koontz. I'm clerk of session, and I'm here to remind you that next Sunday, immediately following worship, we will have a congregational meeting. The agenda includes election of the elders, deacons, and trustees for next year, review of the 2020 budget, which session has approved, and also an updated report from the DPNC. That's the group that is searching for our new pastor. So please plan on staying after worship. It will be a brief meeting, but a very important meeting. And secondly, I want to thank the Christmas elves that were here yesterday to set up our tree, which 9 feet were taking off this tree to get it in here. And ask that anybody that's willing and has the spirit to stay after worship today to finish decorating the tree and the rest of the sanctuary. So if you can, please stay, and we appreciate the help. Thank you.
Good morning. December is one of the months that we serve a noontime meal at St. Joseph's. So today I put up the sign-up sheet out on the sign-up board and the narthex. We all know that nothing says Merry Christmas like GPC goulash. So come and help us serve those that need a meal. There's one change. The food preparation that we usually do Friday night, because of a conflict and the winter weather, we moved the time that we're going to prepare that to midday, noon, rather than 6:30 at night. So you can come in the daylight hours, prepare the goulash, and make it home before dark for those that don't like to drive in the dark, like me. So the sign up there is out there. If you can't go shopping and you want to donate, see me, and I'll gladly take any cash donations and help with the shopping for the food. So that's food preparation on Friday the 20th and serving on the 21st. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Carson Wollers. I'm up here on behalf of the Jamaica Mission Team. We have a couple new things out in the narthex today. The large board out there with the Jamaican flag and some envelopes on it is the Jamaica board. Basically what that is a giving opportunity for you all to sponsor individual activities for us going down to Jamaica. Another thing that we have coming up is the Blue Mountain Coffee House. There's also a couple sign-up sheets out in the narthex for that as well. We have a baked goods sign-up sheet for those of you to make things and bring them in. We also have a performer sign-up sheet for the coffee house. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Jen Olson. I'm the Director of Children and Youth Ministries here at GPC, and I wanted to invite all families with young children, including my own, down to the Fellowship Hall Afterthoughts for Children this morning. In place of Sunday school, we'll be doing Advent crafts and cookie decorating. And then I'd like to invite all of you after worship to head down there, and we'll leave the tables up. There might be some extra craft kits if you have any grandchildren or people at home that you might like to share some with. You can feel free to take some things to go. Thank you.
Let us prepare ourselves for worship.
You light the candle of hope.
What do we say? Down there.
We long for you to come to our world.
To break through and reign with compassion, justice, and peace.
Please join me if you are able to the call to worship. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. As was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There the thrones of judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David.
Thank you. may be seated. If somehow we imagine that we have not sinned, we are self-deceived and strangers to the truth. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, with that kind of confidence, let us join in our litany of confession. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom. We live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way, to seek things that will endure as Christ comes to judge the world. The saying is true and worthy of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save us sinners. God's love for us is sure, given in mercy. Gratefully, thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning, everybody. Happy December, and welcome to the first day of Advent. Does anyone know what Advent is?
The days counting down till Christmas.
Yes, all right. We're waiting for the arrival of baby Jesus. So I don't know if many of you remembered the story we read last year called Birds of Bethlehem. Does anyone remember that? No, we kind of, that was the Christmas story from the perspective of a bunch of birds. And this year, you do remember that. Yeah, this year we're going to read another story from somebody else's point of view. And I have Alex up here to help me hold the book so we can read it. So this one's called A Christmas Story, and everyone else can actually see it up there if you can't see the pages of the book. Once, a long time ago, in a town called Nazareth, a little donkey was born. When the little donkey was almost 9 months old, his mother set out on a long trip with her mistress and master, whose names were Mary and Joseph. They asked Rebecca, a child who lived nearby, to look after the little donkey while they were gone. But the little donkey was very sad without his mother and refused to eat. So Rebecca packed food and water and promised the little donkey that they would find his mother. And they set out to follow Mary and Joseph. The roads were full of people traveling to various towns and cities. "Have you seen a donkey with a man and a woman?" Rebecca asked a traveler. "Yes, they passed me on the road to Jerusalem," the traveler replied. Rebecca and the little donkey took the road to Jerusalem. Soon they came to a soldier standing guard at a splendid palace. "Have you seen a donkey with a man and a woman?" Rebecca asked the soldier. "Yes, they passed this way," the soldier answered. "Now hurry along, there are important visitors here to see King Herod." Rebecca and the little donkey continued on their way. In time, they met some shepherds keeping watch over their flocks. "Have you seen a donkey with a man and a woman?" Rebecca asked them. "Yes, they were going toward Bethlehem," the shepherds replied. So the little donkey and Rebecca went on. Suddenly, glorious music filled the sky, and then they saw a great star shining down on the little town of Bethlehem.
When they reached Bethlehem, they met a man standing in the doorway of an inn. Rebecca asked if he had seen Mary and Joseph and the donkey. Yes, he replied. They wanted to stay here, but there was no room at the inn. They went to the stable, and the innkeeper showed Rebecca the way. The stable was bathed in a wonderful light that shone from the bright star above. As Rebecca and the little donkey came near, they heard the sweet sounds of a mother donkey braying and a little baby crying. Rebecca and the little donkey entered the stable, and there, lying in a manger, was a newborn baby. "What are you going to call him?" asked Rebecca. "His name is Jesus," Mary replied. In the days that followed, the little donkey and his mother went with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus into Egypt, and Rebecca rode home on a king's camel. And it came to pass that Mary and Joseph returned to Nazareth, and there Jesus grew up with Rebecca as his friend. And now before we go down the hall for our Advent festival, let's end with a prayer. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for your light.
Thank you.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you for our love.
Please help us.
Please help us.
Be good friends.
Good friends.
Like Rebecca and the donkey. Amen.
First reading this morning is from Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, in 2 days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from the Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore."
Thank you.
gospel reading for the first Sunday of Advent comes from Matthew chapter 24, sometimes known as the Little Apocalypse. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Very often we regard Advent as a season to get ready for Christmas, primarily because it coincides with December, and our culture's default position is to use the season of Advent to get ready to make or break the annual sales of a particular store or store chain. Now, it wasn't always so, but it is now. However, the practice of observing Advent in the Christian church is rooted in the 3,000-year-old expectation of Isaiah of a deliverer for Israel. The church, as articulated by St. Paul in Romans chapter 11, has regarded itself as a branch grafted into the stump of the tree of Israel. So the church has both adopted and adapted the version and the story and the vision of Isaiah for itself. Each Sunday in Advent, we will read a selection from the prophet Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah in each Sunday of Advent focuses on what the world is heading for. The modern poet and prophet T.S. Eliot suggests where the world is heading. Between the idea and the reality, between the motion and the act, falls the shadow. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. We will all have to judge for ourselves this Advent season whether the world is heading for a bang or a whimper. The message of Isaiah is that we are not headed for an end, but for an advent, for an arrival. So how that arrival will occur for each one of us is a matter of a question. Will it be an end or a beginning, with a bang or with a whimper? Isaiah has one metaphor for each of the four Sundays of Advent this year. The first Sunday of Advent is swords forged into plowshares. The second Sunday of Advent is a branch growing from a dead stump. The third Sunday of Advent is a blooming desert. And the final and fourth Sunday of Advent is Emmanuel, God with us. So my preaching purpose this morning will not be so much as to apply these metaphors to our lives, but rather to unpack their biblical richness and purposefully to leave them all dangling and unresolved. Dangling and unresolved in the shadow between the idea and reality, between the motion and the act. To decide how the world begins for you and for me, and how the world ends for you and me, like the poet said, with a bang or with a whimper. In today's lesson from the second chapter of Isaiah, Barb read, "For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." Have you ever thought about the literal meaning of that biblical metaphor? Swords forged into plowshares. War in biblical times was bloody hand-to-hand combat in which a variety of weapons were made and used that would effectively maul, lance, stab, bludgeon, pommel, decapitate, or otherwise dismember an enemy soldier. It's only in recent times that we have accomplished the same objectives at great distances with rockets and drones, and thus remove ourselves from the immediate carnage of war. It's possible for a sailor sitting on a boat in some ocean to launch a rocket guided by a drone on a very specific target, kill, member, dismember, and otherwise destroy a town, a village, a house, close his computer, and go enjoy a beer with his colleagues. The ancient biblical sword was made of bronze or iron, and it could be a blade, probably triangular in shape, huge, 18 inches from bottom to top. And at the top of the triangular blade was a hook, kind of like a fish hook. And attached to a long pole, that weapon could puncture and rip flesh rather effectively. But also, if heated and bent just slightly, such an implement of warfare could be effectively transformed into a plow, and its sharp edges used to turn the deep, shallow, and parched soil of Palestine. In ancient times, when refined metals were scarce, such recycling of war material may have been a very standard practice. In the second Sunday of Advent, we will read, "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. He shall not be judged by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. The nursing child shall play over the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nation shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious." A branch to sprout from a dead stump. It's an unusual, if not improbable, word picture. Yet, it is another biblical metaphor which may originate from the battlefield. In an arid climate like ancient Palestine, trees were a rare commodity. In some cases of holy war, everything was to be destroyed, including the city with its dwelling and the surrounding fields. They were burned or otherwise made useless. The dead stumps of a burned orchard or a vineyard was a common sight as victorious armies of holy war finished gathering their booty. A branch will sprout from a dead stump. In the prophet Isaiah, the dead stump metaphor represents the destroyed lineage of King David. Jesse was the father of David, and so the biblical writer is suggesting that as a stump might sprout a new branch many years after it was burned or destroyed, so too the dynasty of David, the ideal king, will grow again because its roots were never totally destroyed. Of course, this would be a new dynasty. This dynasty would be invested by the Spirit of the Lord with all the attributes of a righteous judge ruling under peaceful conditions in which wild and domestic animals would dwell and feed together and children would be unhurt by the most venomous of reptiles. To which is added the express prediction that all mutual injuries shall cease in consequence of the universal knowledge of God. The lesson for this third Sunday of Advent is, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. A blooming desert. In the Middle East, normally after the meager winter rains in the desert region, there is a brief but colorful blossoming of grass and wildflowers. It lasts only for a couple of weeks and then is gone. For biblical peoples, the regeneration of the desert reminded them of the God who prepared their way, the God who had traveled with his people as a cloud by day and a pillar by fire by night in that first Exodus journey. For biblical peoples, the brief season of the blooming desert was a symbol of the return of life amidst the winters of their discontent. Swords into plowshares, a branch sprouting from a dead stump, a blooming desert, and then the fourth Sunday of Advent, the reading from Isaiah says, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, king of Judah, saying, look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. So very often, Christians read this metaphor of Emmanuel and see it as words of peace. Well, actually, it is a text of terror. The setting is a civil war between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. It's not very common knowledge of most Christians that, like the United States, had its own civil war. The Israelis had a nasty civil war in the mid-700s before Christ. And in that civil war, during that civil war, to complicate matters, the northerners brought in neighboring Syria to fight against their southern cousins of Jerusalem and the south. The prophet Isaiah, a southerner, is seeking to draw out his king from a hesitant reserve and to force him to make a clear decision. But, steeped in tradition and political expediency, Ahaz, the king, quotes the Torah rather glibly, I'm not going to put God to a test, and thus hides from the challenge of God as given by Isaiah. Well, Isaiah is not pleased. Since the king refuses to ask for a sign, Isaiah declares, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, a young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. Huh? What? What does the birth of a child have to do with a civil war? It's a total non sequitur, a misnomer, a false analogy, a counterintuitive sign if there ever was one. For behold, Isaiah continues, addressing the king, for behold, before the child knows how to refuse evil and choose good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. Then the Lord will bring on you and on your people and on your ancestral house such days have not come since the day Ephraim departed from Judah. The Lord will bring upon you the king of Assyria. That is a text of terror. However, this attack coming upon Jerusalem is doomed to fail, says Isaiah. Therefore, those women who are pregnant will thankfully name their children Emmanuel, God with us. But the lives of the children with this wonderful name will be lived in great contrast to their names, because the attacking king of Assyria will put terror in their hearts. Isaiah expects this ally of the south, the Assyrians, to eventually turn against their allies, turn against their southern friends. Thus, both northern and southern Jewish nations will experience the judgment of God. And Isaiah emphatically declares that God's time is his own, and that all sinning nations, Hebrew or pagan, will not escape. And, as a matter of fact, at the end of this civil war in 721 BC, the 10 northern tribes of Israel were completely dispersed and routed. We now know them as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. There are four images of Advent: swords forged into plowshares, a branch sprouting from a dead stump, a blooming desert, and a child born in the eye of the hurricane of civil war. The biblical language of Isaiah is futuristic. It's about what God is doing in Isaiah's world as well as in our world. And Isaiah would remind us that we live in God's time, not our own time. Now, this is both hopeful and terrifying. So, like T.S. Eliot suggests, we do live between the idea and the reality. Between the motion and the act falls the shadow. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper. Or is this the way the world begins? With the whimper of a baby? Each one of us will have to decide. And not to decide is to decide.
Thank you.
thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Holy God, in this season when we anticipate the second coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise.
You created all things and called them good. You made us in our own image. Even though we rebelled against her love, you did not desert us. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God. You spoke to us through prophets who looked for that day when justice should roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Therefore, with the prophets and all who have looked for a better time to come, with your people in all ages and the whole company of heaven, we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God our God, heaven and earth is full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, in this Advent season, we lift up the joys and concerns of your church. We are reminded of this Advent season that there are those who see only an end, who struggle with health and disease, both physical and mental. Stand by these, O God, and may they be able to at least light a candle in the darkness. We are conscious of our world in which again and again and again we read of the carnage of war and the absence of peace. O God, we pray for counsels of peace, that these counsels among all nations may emerge in this Advent season, so that justice may roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And we pray for this congregation, O God, as it seeks to negotiate its future, looking to you as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, as it seeks to move forward, looking for a pastor to be the shepherd of this flock. Give those who are searching discernment, energy, intelligence, imagination, and love.
Holy is your name, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who rever you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You feed the hungry with good things, and the rich you send them empty away.
Holy God, your Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from captivity to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant.
Therefore, in remembrance of all your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we remember his life and death as we come to the table of resurrection. We speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, witnessed to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was.
Christ will come again, blessing us forever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was arrested, took bread and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same manner also, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. And as long as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do remember the Lord's death until he comes." gifts of God for the people of God. The table is ready. This is the bread of heaven. Feed us till we want no more. Thank you. cup of salvation. This is the royal wine of heaven. Drink ye all of it. Let us pray. You have given yourself for us, Lord. Now we give ourselves for others. Your love has made us a new people. As a people of love, we will serve you with joy. Your glory has filled our hearts. Help us to glorify you in all things. Therefore, with confidence, we pray the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. In thankful gratitude to God, we now receive our morning offering. God has given to us, therefore let us give back to God.
God of mercy and hope, we bring our gifts this morning as we prepare our lives for the gift of the Christ child. We come reflecting on his past, coming to a poor family of refugees born as they spent the night in a stable in Bethlehem. We know there are gifts to come, although we don't know when he will return, and so we live in that hope. As we dedicate these offerings to you, we long for him to be born in our hearts again this year in this holy season. In the name of the one who came to save us, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
So go out into the world in peace and have courage, and hold fast to that which is good. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, comfort the mourners, feed the hungry, and drive safely. Go in God's holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
have been, and